Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And it says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, but under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons."
If you were here last night, you know that this room looked very different last night. It was filled with tables and chairs to seat about 170 people, and almost all of those chairs were filled. It was a night of great food, great fellowship, and great fun. And if you missed it, it's too bad. I hope that you'll be around for it next year. It was worth coming out to. It was a night of nights, and a lot of people made that possible. Keith and Brent and the crews that helped them both get the tables and chairs in and out. The kitchen crew that included barbecuing outside when they would like to have been inside, I'm sure. The crew that put together all of the entertainment. Those who decorated the place. Just so many people involved. Vern was talking this morning in class about how during Vacation Bible School, fully half of this congregation is involved in that. I think half the congregation was involved in getting everything ready for last night. And it showed. And so our thanks go to everybody who was a part of all of that. Amen? Yeah. And Betty and I received some very nice gifts last night, and we really want to thank you for your generosity and your grace. It has been continuing over many years, and we are very moved by it. So thank you very much for all that. You know, in our journey in life, one of the many things that we are unsure about is timing. Timing. I want you to imagine with me for just a few minutes this morning about something that probably almost, if not all of us, have experienced when we were fairly young. Whether you're male or female, you can find yourself hopefully somewhere within this. A young man is attracted to a young woman. They meet, they get acquainted, and the young man wants to ask her out for a date. But he wonders, is the time right? Have we known each other long enough that she'll give me a positive response? Am I pushing things a little too hard? Is the time right? And he wrestles with that for a while. But finally he asks her out. And she says yes. The date goes well, as do all the ones that follow. And suddenly, they're a couple. Months later, he wants to tell this young woman he loves her. But he's conflicted. He wonders, is it too soon to say this? Will this cause her to push back? Will she be just kind of overwhelmed by this? Is the time right? But He tells her, I love you. And she responds, I love you too. Well, apparently the time was right. Well, later, several months, their relationship has grown closer and closer. And he wants to tell her, I want to marry you. But again, he wonders, have we been together long enough? Does she know me well enough? Does she trust me? Do our lives mesh enough? Do we have the same values and the same goals? Are we headed in the same direction? Are we on the same page? Is the time right? But he asks her, and she says yes. And so goes their life, with every phase of their life. There's always these issues arising. Is the time right? Is the time right? We always want to make sure that the time's right. We don't want to jump into something before the time is right. We want to make sure that everything is right. The Bible shows us that God created time. And when we open up that first chapter of Genesis and we read about creation, one of the things that we probably don't think very much about is the issue of time, that God created time. It talks about God created this and this and this and this. And the end of the first day and the end of the second day. And we start realizing there's a time factor here, that God has created things within the context of time. But God not only created time, God goes a step further. God has been known to even control time. In Joshua, as the Israelites have finally come into the promised land, and God is taking them through and winning over their adversaries so that they can actually come to live in this land and dominate this land. We read this in Joshua chapter 10 and in verses 12 through 14. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Aijah. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. How do we even imagine that? None of us have ever seen anything like it, have we? Where God actually did what someone asked in terms of causing the sun and the moon to stand still? So God not only created time, God controls time. God actually makes and fulfills all of his plans within time. Time as we know it and understand it. And God knows the right time for everything. Absolutely everything. Not just in some large universal sense. Not in just some sense that applies to earth. Not just in some sense that applies to plans that God has as opposed to Satan's plans, but plans that come down right to you and I individually. When I graduated from college, I was pretty depressed because I was one of these guys, I was planning way in advance, and I was one of these guys who was really oddball for high school in that I was the guy who wanted to get married. I was the guy who was planning to get married, planning to have kids. And I had my age, you know, set for when I was going to get married and when I was going to have my kids and all that. And at the time I graduated from college, I not only didn't have a fiance or a wife, I didn't have a girlfriend. And so my planning was off. And so I got really depressed because I was in a situation where I wasn't around young women in the church who were available. And so I was beginning to wonder what's going on here. And I prayed to God. I mean, I prayed earnestly to God because my time was running out. I was 23 years old. And so I prayed urgently, earnestly, seriously to God. And I didn't know what God had in mind for me, whether it was to be single, or whether I was to marry a non-Christian and convert her, or whether God was going to somehow miraculously bring a Christian woman into my life. I didn't know. I just knew that the timing was getting away from me. And God caused me through that series of prayers to do a lot of soul searching and a lot of thinking back over young Christian women that I knew. And that eventually led to Betty and I getting married. But one of the things I learned out of that was everything that I was looking forward to was in my timing instead of God's timing. And when I got on board with God's timing, things went well. And I came to understand that God knew the right time for everything, including me, and everything that went on within my life. But I had to get on board with his timing instead of shoving my timing in his face and say, Lord, rubber stamp this. In Genesis chapter 18 and verses 9 through 14, there's kind of a situation like that with Abraham and Sarah. God presented himself in a way that was kind of veiled to Abraham and Sarah. And he promised Sarah that he would return at the appointed time next year when he would enable her to have a son. Now, we might look at that and say, well, I mean, we know very clearly that a woman gives birth in 9 months. But after all, Sarah was way past childbearing age. And he didn't talk with her about her being pregnant then. He talked about her having a son at the appointed time. She was not pregnant when he spoke to her. But she would be. And she would have the child when he would return at the appointed time. Not her appointed time, not her chosen time. That was years before. But at the time God had appointed for her. God knew the appointed time for Sarah to have that child. Acts chapter 7 and verses 17 and 20 say, as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt increased greatly. As the time drew near, what time? The time in God's plan, not the time in Israel's plan, but the time in God's plan. It goes on to say, at that time, Moses was born. At what time? At the time that God had chosen for Moses to be born. God had a plan, a purpose, and a time. God had plans, but they were within his framework, not human framework. He would fulfill everything in his plan and his promises when he knew that the time was right. When the time of everything was right. The statement in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 5 that Rick read moments ago affirms this when it says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son. That's an odd statement, isn't it? When the time had fully come. What's it mean, fully come? Time comes and goes. Time doesn't stand still. What does it mean when it was fully come? It means that God knew when the time was exactly right. Again, not by man's choice or man's plans, but by God's plans. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 10 says of God, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. What an interesting statement. When the times will have reached their fulfillment. What times? The times of God's plans. God knew exactly when, and he knew exactly what, and he knew exactly how, and he knew exactly who. He knew everything centuries, millennia in advance. And so when the times reached their fulfillment, the completion of things for God's plans to come into their fullness, that's when Christ came. The events of Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through 37 and Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 through 23 fulfill the prophecies about the Messiah or the Christ that we read about in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And these prophecies would occur when God knew the time was right. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 1, in verse 26 on through verse 37. In the sixth month, that was of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now that's significant. You know why? Because "the Lord is with you" is a translation of the term Emmanuel. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus," which means God with us. "He will be great, and will be the son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. The story picks up back in Matthew then. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 and on through verse 23, where it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to call him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The time had come. God's time. Not the time necessarily when Israel had hoped for this Messiah to come, but the time when God knew it was right. The time was right. And so God, being in charge, did what God knew was right at the right time. Mark chapter 1 and verses 14 through 15 says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And he said, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus knew God's plans. He knew God's purposes, and he knew God's timing. He often said that the time for him to reveal himself as the Messiah had not yet come. So Jesus was fully aware of this matter of timing, the right time by God's time, the right time by God's plan, the right time by God's knowledge, the right time for God's grace to flow onto all human beings on the face of the earth. But finally, John 13 and verse 1 says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. There were so many places that Jesus had not yet been in terms of his ministry. There were so many more people that ideally Jesus could heal. There were so many more teachings, it seems like, and so many more people who needed to hear those teachings that Jesus could preach or teach to. There was so much more, it seemed, by our thinking, by human thinking, by human timing. No, the time couldn't be running out. The time couldn't be coming to an end. But Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And so in John chapter 17, Jesus said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. This was Jesus' time, his time to die for the sins of the world. It was the right time for this to happen. Oh, people who loved him mourned greatly. We read about women following him as he was being led off to be crucified, crying openly, loudly, and Jesus comforting them. But Jesus didn't beg for more time, because he knew it was the right time. The time had come, God's time. Just as God had known everything as it was supposed to happen throughout all time, and measured and placed everything within its time, and caused things to happen as they should within their time, his time for them to happen. everything that has happened in the history of the world, God has used to fulfill all of his plans when the time was right. We can look at so many things that have happened in the course of this world's history, in so many places, and we can become so discouraged about it and wonder, where was God? Why wasn't God taking care of this? But God knew the right time for everything. And everything, by the wisdom of God, fell into place to fulfill his plans and purposes and timing. So Romans chapter 5, in verses 6 through 8, says this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us at just the right time. It's been said that timing is everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Jesus' follower Paul quotes God's words in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8, saying, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. Paul added this, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. In God's wisdom, the time is right today. The time is right every day, every hour, every minute, for you and I to become reconciled to God, to get back in God's good graces, to yield ourselves to him, to obey him, to repent of us being astray from God. Every day, every hour, every moment is the right time. But we need to understand something. God is eternal. But we know that on this earth, we are not. And so today, when we know what to do, when we know how to become reconciled to God, it's the right day, the right moment. It's the right time. But for each of us, time is running out. Do you need to be reconciled to God in some way today? It's a great time. It's the best time. And if we can help you in any way, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.